I drive dub, let the pressure flow. The passion scatter like feet in the street. Fragments of vocals, fragments repeat. Saxophone drip like mist through town. Hi-hat shimmer as moon go down. Sirens and delays staring left and right. Fader up, fader down, up through the night. Engine brake hard, bass spin around. Midnight rhythm in dub white sound.
RCT online. Live streaming available at www.wrct.org. WRCT Pittsburgh. You have no excuse not to listen.
Just watch it burn it. AKA Congress. I gotta listen to
Smoke O'Keefe on WICT Pittsburgh. Today we got special guest Flumosa in the studio, and we got my partner Nettles leading off all of the ads and exciting things. So if you're interested, stay tuned for a great show.
WRCT is supported by Rita's Italian Ice. Rita's offers a variety of frozen treats, including their Italian Ice, made fresh daily with real fruit. Available in over 95 flavors. Rita's has several locations throughout the city of Pittsburgh, including a stand at 3712 Fifth Avenue near the University of Pittsburgh campus. For more information, visit their website at ritasice.com. If you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. If you are interested, you can stop by the Pittsburgh Banjo Club's regular rehearsal every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Founded in 1988, the Pittsburgh Banjo Club is an all-volunteer band and organization that uses banjos, trumpets, tubas, and bass to perform popular music from the 1920s and 30s. The Pittsburgh Banjo Club rehearses at the Allegheny Elks Lodge number 339 at 400 Cedar Ave in the Northside. Food and refreshments are available. If you'd like to make a reservation, they can be made by Tuesday at 5 p.m. for each Wednesday event. Call 412-321-1834 for reservations. If you or your organization would like an event included in the WRCT radio calendar, please send the details at least 2 weeks in advance to radio-calendar@wrct.org. Here's your music calendar for the weekend. Friday the 15th at Stage AE is Yo Gabba Gabba at 4:30 p.m. At Spirit at 6 is Skullfest 15, featuring Negative Approach, Crosses, Iron Lung, Short Leash, Commitment, Skronto, True Body, Nervosas, Symphony Flowers, Extradition, and Veneno. At 7 p.m. at the Roboto Project is Ananori and Dr. Girlfriend with Ghost Year and Mutate Often. 8 p.m. at the Funhouse at Mr. Smalls is Uno with Windsor. At the Pittsburgh Winery, Bill Henry Band, and Thunderbird is August Williams. Austin Williams. Saturday the 16th at the Pittsburgh Winery is Mike Marks at 5 p.m. 6 p.m. at Spirit Hall is Skullfest 15 featuring Destroy, Drop Dead, Glope, Destruct, Submachine, and Grassy Knoll. 8 p.m. at the Funhouse at Mr. Smalls is A Dangerous Summer with Rose Colored World. And at the Government Center, Options, Soft Surface, Ian, and Missing. Sunday the 17th at 6 p.m. at Spirit is more of the Skullfest 15 featuring Stormcrow, Languid, Zyclone, Death Gasp, Matar, Bat, Heaven's Gate, Vicious Blade, Shooting Pain, and Ancient Torture. At 8 p.m. at the Roboto Project is Royal Dog, A Loner, Language of the Heart. If you're representative of a Pittsburgh-related musician, band, or venue and would like us to list your events in our music calendar, please send an email with all the details, including date, time, place, and performers, to music-calendar@wrct.org. This calendar is updated each week on Wednesday afternoon.
from your eyes. That don't change my mind, baby. Don't cry. Hold it from your eyes. I just feel that we ain't gon' mind. Feel it in my soul, cause I tried. Please don't cry. Hold it from your eyes. That don't change my mind.
Don't.
Music lovers, you may be interested in these other shows from WRCT. 8 miles High, and when you touch down, you'll find that it's stranger than known. Tune in to 8 miles High with Nick and Andy every Tuesday at 9 p.m. From East Panama to the world, Brazilian music is arguably the number one export product from Brazil. From East Panama to the world presents Brazilian music and information to the listeners of WRCT every Friday at 7 p.m. Tune in and enjoy listening to an adventurous mix of familiar standards and lesser-known gems from the Brazilian songbook in a broad range of musical styles. When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear, vaping is not safe for youth. Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs and dangerous things like metals into your body. And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s, with appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media, many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not. So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you. A message from the Federal Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, www.samhsa.gov. Your eyes are windows to your health. Schedule an eye exam to see if you're one of the 11 million Americans who has a common vision problem and that can be easily corrected. Remember, healthy eyes make for a healthier you. For more information, visit www.nei.nih.gov/healthy eyes. A message from the National Eye Institute at the National Institutes of Health and WRCT Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're listening to WICT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM on the dial or online at WICT.org. I'm Smoko, and this is Go Fetch with me, Smoko. That was just Formosa in the studio with us today. And that's about it for us. Up next is Courts in Session with America's favorite DJ attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie. So if you're interested, stay tuned right to this station because we got a special show coming up. But that's it for us in the studio today. I'm Smoko. This is Go Fetch. And you're listening to WICT Pittsburgh.
Forbes Avenue is a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT, its members, or Carnegie Mellon University. Email questions or comments to pa@wrct.org.
Welcome to Forbes Avenue on WRCT Pittsburgh. I'm Richard Gordon and she's...
Riona Duncan.
And we're here with two fine professors of our acquaintance to talk about some translation issues.
We have Christopher Jones, who's Professor Emeritus of French and Francophone Studies at Carnegie Mellon. Hello.
Hello. Good to be here.
So glad to have you here. And we also have Marcy Persine, who's Assistant Professor and Director of Undergraduate Studies in Classics down at Pitt.
Hi. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much.
I just got to start by saying I knew that Christopher had been all over the place and learning all sorts of different languages, but I was amazed when I just learned that he got to Portugal to play pro basketball, and he had one word in Portuguese.
That's correct. And it was an eye-opener going to Portugal after having been a very poor student of German, and I still have no German, but being dropped into a bath... Mm-hmm. of a foreign language and at a time when there were very few English speakers mm-hmm. in Portugal. So it was sink or swim, so to speak, and I swam. Mm-hmm.
As hard as it is for us to understand each other when we speak the same language, what the heck happens once you start adding different languages?
Increased difficulty, I think, but also increased opportunity for communication to happen, right? So there's some places where languages can meet the needs that another language doesn't realize it has. So, for example, you might think of how in Japanese there's a particular word for someone who is an upperclassman who might be a mentor figure for you, a senpai. We don't have an equivalent like that in English, which can make things kind of difficult, like when you're trying to refer to someone who is a third-year graduate student and you're a mere first-year graduate student and utterly lost in the sauce. It can be nice to be able to refer to someone who has advanced experience than you, but English doesn't have any such word.
Wait, you're a classics professor and you're telling us about words in modern Japanese?
Well, that's not... I don't know very much Japanese. Maybe someday, though.
It is true that many languages have these levels. In Japanese, it's honorifics, but in Chinese and in Latin languages, there's familiar and formal ways of address, mm-hmm. which for Americans can be somewhat problematic. But we do eventually adapt if we're planning to integrate ourselves into the culture.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it can lead to interesting problems and opportunities, even in classics. So I remember going to a lecture some years ago by Professor Jinyu Liu, who was in the middle of translating some of Ovid's love letters into Japanese. And in Latin, it is very rare to use personal pronouns because it's an inflected language. So the verbs contain the concept of who is doing an action. So you don't need to use tu very often or vos very often. It's implied in the verb. But the very first word, when you translate into Japanese, a love poem that begins with you are so beautiful needs to be one of these levels of familiarity. Is it anata? Is it anta? Or is it something more formal than that? And I remember just being blown away by her lecture on this.
Going back to Americans learning other languages, do you think Americans are worse than other cultures at learning language? Because I've heard that from various people.
you often hear it from Americans themselves, right? Though I'm bad at languages and so forth, not naming any names. I think learning languages is, there is an aptitude. I don't think there's any research that shows that any particular cultural group is better or worse than another at learning languages. But then you get around to need. If you need to learn a language, myself arriving in Portugal and being interviewed by a journalist, needing someone to interpret, then going into a small town where there was an American pastor who spoke English, and that was it. The need, and I got it by then also. But how many Americans in their kind of daily life need to learn another language? Some, you know, if you're working in the medical fields, even sometimes in law and places like that, where at least you might need a decent knowledge of Spanish. In the courts, you somehow need to be able to communicate in English what a witness may have only been able to express in Ukrainian or something like that. I mean, that's, so there is need there, but it's not a broad, a large need among Americans generally. And without getting into the fact that the world speaks English now, that makes us worse students of language.
One of the things that I think affects it is fear of failure. I didn't take French or Italian or Spanish or German. I stuck with Latin, which was taught to me as a dead language. Sorry.
Yeah, but, no, I perfectly understand.
But it was a fear of failure. I didn't want to do this. And mm-hmm. when my son and I took a trip to Germany, I got along with the shopkeepers better than he did, even though he was studying German, because he was too scared to make a mistake.
Right, absolutely. When, this is an anecdote, but when I was in college, I was fortunate enough to live with two of my best friends, who I'm still very good friends with. And one of them, her primary language was Spanish, and she spoke Spanish with her family. And my other friend's primary language was Taiwanese. And I remember moving in with them and saying, hey, wouldn't it be great if I could improve my Spanish with you and start to learn Cantonese with you? And then both of them, as one, basically turned to me and said, it would be too much work. We want to actually be your friend, not your teachers. Right? So there's this space for failure. There's, you know, the question of how you can immerse yourself. There's the urgency, the need to learn. And then there's also this ease of communication by having what's often referred to as a lingua franca, right? Which English serves as a lingua franca in the U.S.